I'm thrilled to introduce to you today our guest speaker. Kurt and I met last night for the first time, Kurt Plagenhoff. He is an amazing missionary in my heart to sit and listen one-on-one. And as you're about to hear the statistics of what God is doing, not to their glory, but obviously to the Lord's glory, they have spent three terms in Albania, a nation I knew very little about until last night and again now this morning. I am pumped about Albania. All right, just hearing what God is doing. I think you're going to leave the same way today, excited at what the Lord is doing. This couple, they're going back for a fourth term, and Central, we get to be a part of what they're doing as we hear him come. So would you welcome Kurt Plagenhoff for the first time to Central Assembly. Give him a hand this morning.
Thanks, brother. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. And it is an honor for me to be here this morning, worship with you, and be able to share with you. I know that you are a missions church, and that we, as the Assemblies of God, are a missions movement. And I want you to know that we, as AG missionaries, are your hands extended to the world, much of the world, who's waiting to hear a witness of the gospel for the very first time. So it's a privilege for us to be able to be here and to partner with you. I would like to introduce my family to you. My wife, Stephanie, we met here at CBC. We are partners in ministry, and I thank God for her. Our daughters, Hannah and Sarah, ages 16 and 13, also involved in the ministry. And our little boy, Joel, 4 years old, who we are thoroughly enjoying. I am grateful to God for a family that loves and serves the Lord together. There's no greater blessing than that. And so we're serving together in Albania. Where in the world is Albania? You saw a bit of it on the video. Here you see a map of Albania and the Balkan area of southeastern Europe. The Balkan area is our area of ministry, and Albania used to be a larger country. The countries that border Albania, parts of northern Greece, western Macedonia, almost all of Kosovo, there to our northeast, and then southern Montenegro, those territories are still occupied by Albanians, and our ministry involves them all. Our ministry to the Albanian people is to reach the lost, most of whom have never heard the gospel, to plant churches in places where there are no churches. We're training and sending out leaders. We're also touching the poor and suffering with the compassion of Christ in a lot of different areas of aid. Albania is a third world Muslim country strategically located between, I'd say, at the crossroads of the East and the West. There are many needs and opportunities for the gospel in Albania, and we know that God has a plan to use Albanian missionaries outside of Albania, beginning in Turkey and then throughout the Muslim world. So God is raising up and sending out Albanian missionaries. We're a young church. We're sending them out. Albania was conquered and ruled by the Ottoman Turks in the 15th century for 500 years. They brought Islam by force. And then after World War II, a communist government took over, and in 1967, they declared Albania to be the world's first and only officially atheist country. Very much like North Korea today, it was a hard, closed, isolated, impoverished place. They boldly declared there is no God, and they imprisoned and killed anyone who dared to defy them. It was a war on God and a spiritual battle for the soul of a nation. During this time, thousands of believers in the army of the Lord all around the world were praying and interceding that God would open up Albania. One general in the Lord's army and a hero of the faith, you may know him, AG missionary to Bangladesh, Cal Olson, prayed and fasted in 1991 for 40 days that God would open up Albania to the gospel. During this time of prayer and fasting, demonic principalities from Albania came into Cal Olson's room and put their hands around his neck and tried to choke him to death. They wanted to stop his intercession. Cal, in his heart, cried out to God, God help me. God save me. He could not utter a word from his lips. As he was crying out in his heart to God, finally one word came out of his mouth, and it was the name of Jesus. When he said the name of Jesus, those demonic powers broke and fled. 4 months later, Albania opened up to the gospel. The communist government fell. Praise the Lord. There is power in the name of Jesus. As you pray, as you give, as you commit in faith promises today, trust the name of Jesus. In 1991, when Albania opened up to the gospel, there were no churches of any kind and only 3 known believers in the country. God called missionaries from all over the world to come and to preach the gospel. He sent us in 1995. Today, I am happy to report that we have 200 evangelical churches and about 20,000 believers in this Muslim nation. If you know anything about Muslim countries, then you know that is a miracle of God. Jesus, from ground zero, has raised the bar and called out a church in Albania. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." His gates were strong in Albania, but they will not prevail, not in Albania, not in America, not in Springfield, Missouri, if we will trust and call upon the name of Jesus and preach his gospel in an uncompromising way, he will work and build his church. Charles Greenway, the regional director in Europe at that time, said in 1992, "For 18 years, I knelt at the border of Albania and prayed that God would open it up. I never believed in my lifetime that I would see it. Well, I've seen it, and now I can die." Thank God for all of those who prayed and interceded over the years. We founded the Albanian Assemblies of God, the National Church, in 2003. We have 7 established churches, 7 church plants, about 1,000 believers in the country. The numbers aren't great, but understand, this is a Muslim context. Though mostly nominal Muslim. Our vision for our next term is to lead a church planting initiative. I presently am pastoring a local church, leading the Bible school and the national church as well. But in returning next year, we want to start a church planting initiative that will plant 5 new churches in Albania and then expand throughout the Balkan region. We need $5,000 for each of these 5 new church plants. I ask you to please help us with that. This is all pioneer work, starting something from nothing, and that's our call. That's our passion. Let's look at neighboring Kosovo, where we also have ministry, missionaries. There are about 2 million people, mostly Albanian, 35 churches, 1,500 to 2,000 believers. Only 1 in 1,200 Albanians in Kosovo knows Jesus. We are blessed in America to have about 1 in 4 people that know the Lord. We're praying for that to be changed throughout the Albanian area and sending people. In Macedonia, our neighbor, there are 35 evangelical Macedonian churches, Orthodox background churches, and about 1,000 Macedonian believers, but not 1 Albanian church, Muslim background, and only 10 to 15 believers, Albanian believers, in the country that we know of out of a population of 500,000 to 700,000 people. As you see, 1 in 1,344 Macedonians knows Jesus. We're believing God to turn around that statistic. In Montenegro is the most unreached area, country in Europe. There are only 3 evangelical churches and a total of 100 believers in Montenegro and very few missionaries. We are targeting Montenegro. The southern part of the country is all Albania. So the Lord is moving throughout the Albanians. We're focusing on the entire Albanian population of the Balkans. We're reaching out, baptizing new believers is one of my greatest joys. I love it. We baptize them in the Adriatic Sea, which separates Albania from Italy. Go out on the beach. Usually crowds gather. People ask, "What are you doing?" And we're baptizing new believers and then get to share the gospel at the same time. This baptism was from May of this year. We do a lot of relational and personal evangelism. The culture is very relational. This requires the consumption of great quantities of Turkish coffee. Has anybody ever had Turkish coffee? The strong stuff in small glasses with the grounds on the bottom. Okay, you know what I mean. And so, coffee evangelism. How many of you like your coffee? All right, you are all excellent candidate missionaries to Albania. Talk to me after the service. We are working next door in Macedonia as well. We personally, in church planting, have started two churches, one in Albania after the Civil War in 1997. I can tell you war stories, bombs and bullets. I'm not going to do that today. We've overseen another one in Mitrovica, Kosovo, the northern part of Kosovo, after the war there in 1999. We have touched hundreds and thousands of people there. About 120 children and 50 young people are coming to the church each week and hearing the gospel. Just a handful of believers have accepted Christ, mostly university age. We believe that they are the first fruits in what is going to be a great harvest for the church in Kosovo. A Kosovar graduate of our Bible school from Albania is pastoring that work along with his wife, his name is Fiznik, doing an incredible job. The light of Jesus is penetrating the darkness in Kosovo. We are now targeting Skopje, the capital of Macedonia. We're sending third-year interns from the Bible school there to work with a veteran team of missionaries to plant what will be, maybe, the first Albanian church in Macedonia. This is a fresh chapter being written in kingdom history in the continuing acts of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so we're very excited about this work in Macedonia. We're building bridges through personal evangelism. Albanians want to know you before they hear about what you believe, hear about your religion. For most Albanians, to be Albanian is to be Muslim. Their religious identity is tied into their ethnic and their national identity. So the question is, how can you change what you're born? Our answer, of course, is you can be born again in Christ. And we're sharing that good news with them. Our ministry includes compassion ministry, handicapped people, poor people. There are many physical needs, many unemployment. Unemployment in Albania nationally is 30-40%. In the area where I pastor, about 80%. And so many needs. We're also involved in training. In 2003, God led us to start a Bible school. We never expected that. We just wanted to preach the gospel, win the lost, plant churches. But it's hard to plant churches when you have no pastors. And so God spoke to us. We started ETC. We're training pastors and church planters to reach the Albanian people in the Balkans and to reach Muslims in other areas, including Turkey. The students are studying the word, growing in their faith, being equipped in ministry, and beginning to assume leadership of the church, which is very exciting. We focus on the word of God, teaching, studying. We emphasize the Holy Spirit. We're a Pentecostal church. We can't grow without the anointing and power of Pentecost. Each graduating class is a victory for the kingdom of God as we send out more workers into his harvest field to preach the gospel. We're also touching many needy people. In the past 2 years, our church in Fruškogorje, in partnership with Convoy of Hope Europe, has adopted a community, and we call it Hope for Grumbulimi. The community is 22 families, people living in poverty. We've helped them with their housing, with food, with clothing, with getting their kids into school, and with sharing the good news and the love of Christ with them. One night, the people in this complex in Grumbulimi heard a voice weeping, crying over them. They didn't know who it was or what it was. And so they all went out of the rooms into the corridors of the building to see who's speaking, who's weeping. The presence of the Holy Spirit came down upon them as they realized it was Christ weeping over them and calling them to himself. The fear and awe of God came upon them. Some of them gave their hearts to Jesus at that moment. Others came to church the following week. Most of the children, about 50, have come to know Jesus. Other adults are on their way. The baptism picture that we saw previously is a man named Jamali in that picture, an elder in the community. He gave his heart to Christ, was delivered from sin, from alcohol abuse. He now is believing God to save his whole family and bring them in. He was baptized along with his daughter in May. I pray that God in his mercy will send more divine visitations to us in Albania and to you here in Springfield. We are believing for visions and dreams and miracles, supernatural revelations of Christ and supernatural manifestations of his power that will convict people, convince people, and draw them to Christ. Will you believe God with me for more of him? We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're working, building friendships, building relationships. You see in this picture, my two daughters on the side there, Hannah and Sarah, they're involved in the ministry. The Grumbelini Project has really changed their lives. God's touched their hearts, and I'm grateful to the Lord for that. I pray that God would give us childlike faith, that we would be able to believe Him for the impossible. Nobody is unreachable. Nobody is too hard. Nobody is too far. And so let's trust the Lord together. I'd like to share with you from the Word this morning as well. We're focusing today on missions. We're focusing upon God's call to take the gospel of Jesus to the whole world in our generation. We need to understand that we are in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. And our call is to win the world for Christ, starting in the city in Springfield and reaching around the world. How can we do it? What will it take? I believe that in Luke chapter 9, Jesus gives us a key to this call, to this mission. And so we're going to read from Luke chapter 9. He calls us to surrender, to sacrifice, and to service. If we will totally surrender to Christ, if we will sacrificially give of ourselves for a sinful world, if we will selflessly serve the cause of Christ with our whole hearts, then I believe that Jesus will use us to transform this community and transform the world with His good news. Starting in America, reaching out to Albania, touching Afghanistan and around the world. This today is not just a call for missionaries, though I pray that God calls missionaries out of this church. It's a call to every follower of Christ. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, and let's read there together. In the first verses of Luke 9, we see a significant transition in the ministry of Jesus. Up until this point, Jesus had been traveling with the disciples, preaching the kingdom of God, healing the sick, casting out demons. And here, on His third tour of Galilee, for the first time, Jesus sends out His disciples on their own to do the work. Let's pick it up and read from verses 21 through 27. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, referring to the previous revelation that He was the Christ. And He said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then He said to them all, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of Me and My words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when He comes in His glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." Amen. Jesus directed these words to them all, meaning to the disciples and whole crowd that was there. And He made a strong qualification without exception. He said, "If anyone would come after Me." How many of you are a part of anyone? Yes. "If anyone would come after Me," meaning if you want to follow Jesus, here are the requirements. Here are the rules. This is what it's going to take. First, you must deny yourself. That means total surrender. Second, you must take up your cross. That means suffering and sacrifice for Christ. Third, you must follow Me. That means willing service for Christ. Total surrender to the call of God means leaving everything, or at least being willing to do so. Jesus denied Himself when He left the glory of heaven and descended to earth to live among sinful men. He left a lot. When Jesus called the first disciples to follow Him, the Bible says they left everything and followed Him immediately. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they left their nets, they left their boats, they left their family, left their father, and followed Christ. Levi left his good job, tax collecting, and followed Jesus immediately. When me and my family, when we left for Albania in 1995, we sold our cars, sold all our household possessions. We said goodbye to our parents and families. We got on a plane in Atlanta and flew 6,000 miles to follow Christ in Albania. Our little girl was only 1 year old at that time, a baby, the first and only grandchild on either side of our families at that time. And when I left, I really realized that the call of the gospel and the cost of the gospel is one that includes the whole family, including grandparents. How many of you are grandparents today? Okay. You know what I'm talking about. And so I pray that God, as he calls and speaks today, whether you're a grandparent, parent, young person, CBC student, I just pray that as God calls you, you would have the faith and the willingness to surrender and say, God, I'll go wherever you call me to go. I'll leave whatever you want me to. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I think of Pastor Jeff. We met last night, and I heard his story about how God called him to this church, to Springfield, Missouri. Amazed at how God spoke and how many times God spoke so clearly. Leaving his family in Arizona and coming to Springfield. That's surrender. That's leaving something. Surrender and self-denial take many forms. We've learned the strategic importance of prayer and fasting to move mountains and win spiritual battles against forces of darkness, and we've faced many. When we planted the church in Fushkruya, we felt led by the Spirit to pray and to fast before going out and telling anybody about the gospel. Didn't know how long it would be. We prayed and fasted for 3 weeks, and then one day in prayer, I saw in the Spirit the dark, demonic clouds over our city parting, and the light and glory of God shining down upon it. And I knew that God had opened a window of heaven, and it was time to go out and begin sharing the gospel. And so we did. A church now exists in that city, you saw it on the video, where there was no church before. And we thank God for that. As a national church, the Albanian Assemblies of God, we begin every year with 21 days of prayer and fasting every January. Many people are saved and healed and delivered and baptized in the Holy Spirit and called to ministry during that time, more than at any other time during the year. As we deny our flesh and press into the Spirit, God moves and he does miracles. I challenge you today, surrender yourself. Surrender your family to God. Surrender your children. Surrender your time. Surrender your resources as you make faith promises for his work. And watch God reveal himself in supernatural ways and manifest his glory and presence in your life and in your church. Jesus is calling. Total surrender means being willing to leave everything. Total sacrifice for the cross of Christ means giving everything. When Jesus spoke about taking up the cross, the people in Galilee knew exactly what he was talking about. Many of them in that region had been executed in this way by the Romans. And so this was a very real, close to home, vivid illustration for them. Jesus had just finished rebuking Peter, because Peter had tried to deter him from the suffering and rejection and death that Jesus was going to face in Jerusalem. Peter couldn't understand. He couldn't accept that his Lord and Savior, that the promised Messiah, would have to face rejection, even death. But Jesus came for the cross, and the Bible says he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jesus, at that cross, took our sins upon himself, carried our sins to that cross. He gave everything, his life, his love, his blood, to redeem and to reconcile lost mankind to God. He prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." I ask you today, is your will, is your life submitted to the Father? Even when it hurts, especially when it hurts, when God calls you to give, when he calls you to leave something, when he calls you to commit. This is the example of our Savior. In Matthew chapter 19, we read the story of Jesus' encounter with the rich young man. He wanted to know how to make it to heaven, how to get eternal life. And Jesus answered him by saying, "Obey the commands." He replied, I've obeyed the commands ever since I was young. So Jesus told him to sell all his possessions, give them to the poor, gain treasure in heaven, and follow me. The young man walked away very sad. Love for his earthly wealth barred him from entry into the kingdom of God. Tragically, this is true for many people around the world. There was a man in Raleigh, North Carolina, who lived a rebellious, wild, self-indulgent life, defiant against God. But he was successful in business and became a millionaire. God got a hold of his life, and after he met Christ, his life was radically changed. He decided to give all of his possessions, all of his money, millions of dollars to the poor. He sold his house, sold his car, and became an itinerant minister of the gospel, mightily used of God. A wealthy man in the oil business heard about his testimony and called him into his office one day. He held out to him two keys. He said, these are both houses. Choose one. I want to give you one. So he took one, receiving it as a gift from God. The next morning he woke up, there was a new car in his driveway. The title was in his name. God blessed him. When you sacrifice for God, God will bless you. And you cannot outgive God. His blessings will follow you. Consider this today. As you make your faith promises, as you commit to missions, take a step of faith. Make a sacrifice. The eternal destiny of lost people, of unreached people that are otherwise on their way to hell, their destiny rests upon us, rests upon you. May we be faithful. Total sacrifice for the cross means giving everything. Total submission to the way of Christ means gaining everything by losing yourself through service. We as believers are not called to sit in the pew. We're called to serve. We're called to go. This is what Jesus was talking about here in verse 24 when he says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will save it. This is the most emphasized saying of Jesus in the Gospels. Jesus came as a servant. He came to seek and save the lost. That was his passion. That was his life. He was a friend of sinners, criticized for it, but that was his mission. By giving his life, he gained our lives. By his sacrifice, we are saved. In submission to the will of the Father, he died so that we could live. He came to serve. I ask you this morning, as we focus on missions, how are you serving the Lord? Do you have a place of active ministry in this church? I pray that you do. Are you using the gifts of God and the call of God in your life to strengthen your brothers and sisters in Christ and to reach out to the lost? Is your light shining in this community and around the world? Are you an active witness, sharing and praying and reaching out to the lost each day? May God help us and anoint us. In Matthew chapter 19, after the failed conversation with the rich young man, the disciples were amazed and perhaps discouraged. If this rich young man couldn't make it into heaven, then who could? They asked Jesus about it. And Jesus replied, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You might feel overwhelmed or intimidated by Christ's call to total surrender. But I want to let you know, it doesn't depend on you. God is with you. Christ is in you. And he will give you the grace and the conviction and the self-denial, the holiness, the purity, the strength to respond to his call. God is with you. Be encouraged today. Wherever Jesus leads you, he'll guide you. He'll protect you. Be willing to follow his voice, whether he directs you to Springfield, Missouri, from Japan to Springfield, whether he calls you from Arizona to Missouri, whether he calls you to Albania, and I pray that God will call some of you, or to Afghanistan. God will lead and bless and empower. The disciples asked Jesus, what about us who have left everything for you? What's in it for us? What will our reward be? And Jesus answered by saying, anybody who leaves family, who leaves homes, fields, comforts, other opportunities in this world will receive 100 times more in this life and in the life to come. God's reward is great. The worldwide need is urgent. Do you realize that half the world's population, about 3 billion people, are waiting to hear the gospel for the first time? We are talking about Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists, others, most of whom live in the 1040 window. The tragic injustice is not only that they have not heard the gospel, but they can't hear the gospel because they have no witness. Let that sink in. There's a difference there. For many years, I was so moved by the fact that these lost people haven't heard the gospel. And then a few years ago, God just really drilled into my heart. Not only have they not heard, they can't hear. What if they wanted to get up in Albania today or Afghanistan, some other place, and thought, wow, I'd like to hear the word of God. I'd like to worship him. I'd like to know more about this Jesus that I've heard about. Where would they go? There are no churches in their area. Most of them live where there are no believers, no churches, no Christian radio or television, another witness. How can we ignore the cry of the unreached? While many of us lounge in the light, most of the world is dying in darkness. So what are we going to do about it? And what are you personally going to do about it? Today, through your giving, through your faith promises, you have the opportunity to make a difference, an eternal difference in the world. Jesus was talking about this when he said, take up your cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. When he said, go into all the world and preach the good news. So, who is willing to lay down their temporal life and some of their treasure in order that others may inherit eternal life? Yes, going to an unreached place often means leaving the comforts of home and family for a foreign culture, exchanging safety and security for chaos and danger, giving up peace and prosperity for war and poverty. But God gives us as missionaries a new field, a new family on the field. He protects us and delivers us from all the threats and attacks of the enemy. He gives us assurance and victory and joy in the face of all the challenges and needs. And as you step out, fulfilling the call of God on your life, the same grace, the same protection, the same anointing, the same divine enablement will be with you as you reach the lost. So be bold. Be strong. Be courageous. Do you want to be on the cutting edge of life and ministry? Do you want your life to make a difference for the cause of Christ? Do you want to make an impact for the kingdom of God in this world? If you do, then give yourself wholeheartedly to the cause of Christ. Commit yourself to his service. And wherever he leads you, go. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. In Jesus' name. In America, we enjoy the highest standard of living in the world. I never fully realized that before moving to Albania. Just about every time I get into the shower, here or there, I thank God for water. There's a lot of places in the world that live without water, electricity, and we've learned to live with all of that. We're blessed. I'm thankful to God for his blessings upon our nation, our godly heritage, and all the prosperity that he's given us. However, with great privilege also comes great responsibility. We're a nation of consumers. In order to advance the kingdom of God, we need to consume less and give more. We need to learn to live with less and share more so that lost and unreached people around the world can have the chance to hear and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Jesus is calling for total commitment. He's calling for radical devotion, absolute obedience, and complete trust in him. Nothing less will win the world for Christ. Just about every day in my prayer, I pray like this. Lord Jesus, today, I crucify myself. I nail my sin. I nail my selfish ambition. I nail my lust and pride and greed to the cross of Christ. God, help me today to die to all of these things, so that Christ can live in me and through me, and that lost people will see him, be convicted and convinced of him, and compelled to to repent and put their trust in Him. May God give us His passion, His purity, His presence, His purpose. This doesn't happen by accident. We need to be intentional in our daily devotions. We need to be strategic in the allocation of our resources for reaching the lost and unreached. And we need to be missional in our approach to ministry, to share the gospel in a way that people can understand and then be compelled to move and accept it. I'm not just talking about missions over there. I'm talking about ministry right here in America as well. Paul said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's committed to Christ and to the lost. Jesus said, our reward, He will reward each person according to what we have done. In closing, I want to ask you, how can we win this world for Christ? Surrender, sacrifice, and service. It will take total devotion and absolute obedience. I know that this is not an easy word, perhaps, but if you will obey it, God will use you to transform this community and to transform this world for Jesus. I pray that God would convict us, that He would compel us, and that He would send us out for the greatest harvest of souls that the world has ever seen. Our movement in the beginning committed themselves to the greatest evangelism the world has ever seen. I pray in this generation, may God give us the greatest harvest the world has ever seen. God, send revival. Lord, send a fresh outpouring of Your Spirit. God, send Pentecostal power to Your church so that we can preach Your word, do Your works, and reach the world. I ask you in closing to do three things. To join us in this mission by first praying. Please pray for students to be called to the Bible school this year. We have orientation and registration tomorrow in Tirana. I'm praying for God to move and school starts in a week. We need workers. They're from Muslim background families. God calls them to school. Their parents and families usually stand up against them and oppose them in so many ways. Pray for God to call and deliver them. Pray for more missionaries and national church planters to be called to Albania and the Balkans. We need workers. The harvest is great. We have so many needs, open doors. We need workers. As I look at the young people, CBC students and others, I pray that God will speak to some of you. Call you to the Albanian people. Doesn't have to be Albania. Can be anywhere in the Balkans. All right, let's start with the Balkans. I pray that God will call you and that you will respond. Join us. Pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and great turning to Christ. I am asking the Lord of the harvest, and I ask you to believe with me. I am asking Him for 1,000 more souls to be added to the church, which will double our fellowship. That may not sound like a big number in comparison to some fields of the world, but in our area, in a Muslim context where it's one by one, we're believing God for something great. Believe the Lord with us. Please get one of my prayer cards from the table in the foyer or from me and pray. Second, I ask you to give. We need to raise $1,500 more in monthly support before returning to Albania next August. We need $5,000 for each of those five new church plants. And we need about $200,000 for the church building project, preschool project, also pastor's apartment in Fuskruya. As you make your faith promise today, stretch your faith. Believe God for more than you think you can possibly give. A faith promise is not committing to God what you know you can afford. It is believing God to provide through you what He can afford. And so step out in faith today. Third, I ask you to go, to be a witness locally and globally. My prayer is that God will call some of you to the Balkans, perhaps somewhere else in Europe, or somewhere else in the unreached world. Who is willing to go? How many of you feel a call to missions? Please raise your hands. If you feel called to missions, please raise your hands. May God call you, multiply you, and send you out. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we worship You. We thank You for the love of God, the grace of God that called us out of darkness into Your light, into Your church, and into Your service. We respond to your word this morning saying, we will deny ourselves. We will surrender everything. God, we choose to take up our cross today. We will face suffering, sacrifice, whatever it takes to advance the gospel. God, today, we make a decision to follow you. Wherever you lead us, we'll go. We'll leave anything. We'll give anything. We just want to obey you. Touch this church. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your passion, love, and fire. And as we respond to you now in these faith promises, God, do a miracle. Do more than has ever been done before so that lost and unreached people in this city and around the globe would come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.